Well, Declan, after all your years playing with Kerry, was the decision to retire, was it difficult or were you forced into it?
It was very difficult. I found it very hard to step away from it. I thought about it long and hard for a good number of weeks. But a bit of both. The body is definitely giving up. Ray Moran, the surgeon, kind of advised that I'd find it very hard to get back up to the level where I'd need to be to compete. And obviously then with a young family and the travelling and all that type of thing, it just made it probably impossible. I found it difficult even at times this year to balance the whole thing. And, you know, I didn't want, where Kerry are at and where football has gone, really, I didn't want to do something less than 100% and that type of thing. So, look, I want to have a couple of years with the club, and I want to enjoy, you know, the young fellas when they're growing up as well. So my left knee is in bad shape, so I need to mind that a bit. And, look, I had a great career, really loved my time with Kerry. So from that point of view, it's very hard to step away from. It's very hard to leave a dressing room like we have at the moment, especially with some great young fellas coming through. Gooch coming back, Tommy Welsh. I was really excited about that when I heard Tommy Welsh came back. I was delighted with that, and I'd really have loved to play with Tommy for another year. But look, things didn't work out that way. But no, I've no regrets. Very, very happy with the way things turned out.
A few fellas have told me, Declan, that retired, they find it hard to adjust. I mean, football has been your life. You've been a professional footballer. You've been travelling the length and breadth of the country on a continuous basis. How difficult do you think it will be for you now to really adjust your mind to it?
Yeah, I think that's going to be difficult. See, this time of the year, it's okay with you because everything has died down and this is a quiet time of the year. But I can imagine now next March, April, May, you know, I'll be getting, you know, but I'll probably miss it a lot more. I've spoken to a few of the lads who've retired in the last couple of years, and they've told me that it's difficult. I suppose the competitive spirit within you, like you always want challenges, you always want to pit yourself against the best, and you know it's going to be difficult from that point of view. But look, as I said, look, I'm hoping to go back with Drummond. Drummond got relegated to Division 4. We lost the junior final this year. So Drummond have a lot of things to aim for. And so Kerry, of course, the last couple of years in the county championship has been very disappointing from our point of view. So there's a lot of challenges out there still for me to whet the appetite. But it's not the same as inter-county. It's not the same as playing in Fitzgerald Stadium once their final day with a full packed house and playing Croke Park. Those are the days that you really play football for. So, you know, it's going to be very difficult to walk away from those. And I'll miss those, there's no doubt about that. But look, it's going to have to end at some stage. And I had a very special year this year, I thought. Some great memories. And it's a great way for me to finish, you know.
You were kind of automatic then to start playing with Kerry, Declan, and when you got on the Kerry team first, had you still got that chip in your shoulder that you were talking about that you wanted to prove somebody? And who was the manager of the team that time?
Of the Kerry seniors?
Yeah,
well, at the time, actually, I got a call midway through the college's campaign with Clarkson Skellige from Johnny Dwyer, who was a selector at the time, wondering would I get involved. And it was during the league, and they had a game up in Donegal, I think. And would I come in and train and maybe travel to that game? But I spoke with Jack about it, and he felt, look, concentrating the Clarkson Skellige campaign at that time and try win a Hogan Cup and this type of thing. So I didn't go in at that time. And then obviously the championship rolled around, and they drew with Cork down in Killarney in 2002 in the Munster final, and then the replay was above in Cork, and they lost the replay. And I was above in Dublin then, maybe the night after, two nights after, I went up to see my sister, and I got a phone call from Paddy saying would I come down. This was a Monday night, would I come down training? So I said I would, and I was down the next train the following morning and went in training. Tuesday night after the losing the Munster final, that was an experience in itself, I must say, because when you lose to Cork, and it's always been the same throughout my career, when you lose to Cork, all hell breaks loose. There's always a clear the air meeting after losing to Cork, and that was one of those that night, and it really opened my eyes to see what being involved as a Kerry senior was about, and that there was no messing going to be tolerated. And if you were to succeed or survive in this environment, you had to be tough and you had to work hard and you had to be prepared to listen to criticisms, or, you know, everything was going to be out in the open. So in a way, it was brilliant. It was brilliant to see this is what it means to people to be involved in Kerry, and this is what it's going to take for me to survive here. And even that first night, I said to myself, you know, will I make it? You know, it was daunting enough. So from that point of view, I still wouldn't have thought that maybe, you know, would I be capable of playing at that level. So, you know, it takes a while for you to develop into the system and bed in and get your confidence. But certainly I owe a lot to Paddy for putting faith in me. And, you know, I think that was very important even from my point of view long term, that, you know, Jack obviously came on board in 2004, but it was Paddy who got me involved. You know, if it was Jack that brought me into the senior setup, you know, a lot of people would probably say, look, club mate or whatever. But I was very proud of the fact that Paddy saw my ability and put confidence and faith into me and brought me on board in 2002. I got my feet under the table, and in 2003 played all that campaign. And definitely the fact that Paddy put that faith in me gave me great confidence. And I think I was a different player in 2003 from working under Paddy. And then Jack obviously came in 2004. And you know, obviously then it was a very successful period for a lot of that time. But, you know, it was a great memory for me for Paddy to ring me and invite me into training with Kerry. So that was very proud of that.
What did Paddy O'Shea bring to the dressing room, Declan? What did he bring to Kerry? And what was he like inside in the dressing room? And how did you react to him?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing about Paddy is that he's a great presence about him, you know, and that's very important, that if he speaks, everyone listens to him. And, of course, he was very passionate. And while he was very passionate, he was a very cute manager as well. He observed players. He knew how to get the best out of players. And of course, then, you know, when he spoke passionately inside the dressing room, you know, you do anything for the man. And he was also very, I remember I was in Limerick in college at the time, and we used to, myself and Declan Quill used to hire a car to come down to training and drive back up. But one night Declan had exams, so he couldn't come down. So I got a bus down. And then get back up. I couldn't get back up because there was no buses. So Paddy actually jumped into his car, sat me in, and drove me as far as back up to Limerick that night. And, you know, that kind of gesture from the Kerry manager at that time was just something unbelievable. And we had a good chat on the way up. And I suppose he was trying to feel me out, this was early 2003. So he was trying to see what kind of a character I was. So, but those little gestures was a sign of the man, you know. He was prepared to do anything to win and do anything to get the best out of players. And I really, really enjoyed it. I loved listening to him. And I see a lot of Paddy in Eamon, really, the way he Eamon speaks and how he motivates players and really gets the passion of Kerry football.
Jack O'Connor came in and he brought the whole thing to a complete new level. One of the best. You know, no one can ever say who's the best is. But he brought the whole thing to a new level then, Declan. Was it easier for you training with Jack? He'd be a club mate of yours and he'd be a friend of yours and he was from the same place. How did you find him training under Jack O'Connor?
Oh, I loved it. I must say it was a new approach. When you're young, 21, 22, mad for road, you were prepared to do anything. Football was changing around that time. It was getting a lot more physical, a lot more tactical, I suppose, as well. And Jack was the ideal man to come in. He bought into this idea of developing players with weights programs and brought Pat Flanagan with him as well, who really Brilliant. Probably started, you know, the development of how we thought about our training. And how we used to train him in phases so we could peak at different times and different matches. And that was probably the first time that we really delved into that. So I love training under Jack and under Pat. And of course, we had a great bunch of players that time as well. You know, Aidan O'Mahony came along, Paul Galvin came along, you know. Gooch was obviously there since 2002. And there was a nice balance between the older fellas of, we'll say, the likes of Darragh Kinnaird, Johnny Crowley, Seamus Mine, and all those older fellas. And yes, there was a good bunch of young fellas coming through as well. And we just gelled automatically. And there was a great honesty and a great trust in that dressing room. And Jack obviously trained us hard and brought probably a harder edge to a lot of players. And, you know, it really was the start of a real great period for us.
And football, as you said, it changed a lot over your career, of course, Declan. It changed from the open football, and then you met the crowding and the swarming by the northern teams, and that brought Kerry to their level another bit again. That change, and did that swarming when you met up with it, did it stop you in your tracks?
I definitely think we were surprised by it in 2003. When I say surprised, I think we knew it was coming, but the level that it was at, you know, probably surprised us a bit in 2003. But look, to be honest, I think that's all part and parcel of football. You know, we play club football, and if you're the underdog, we would play a style of football that would be a lot of swarming and a lot of working hard because we simply have to. And so I think every team has to play to their best of their ability, has to adjust their tactics to the personnel they have. So I would never speak badly about any team's tactics. Most teams will do what they can to win, and that's where the football is at the moment. But definitely we were probably a bit slow to adjust to the times, but I think, you know, we've always responded quite well to it. Anytime we've lost All-Ireland finals, you know, we've always gone back the following year and worked harder thought about it and changed our tactics slightly, and players have adjusted to different roles and that type of thing, and we've always came back stronger, and we've normally we tended to win the All-Ireland the year after losing it. So I think that was a great sign of the group, great sign of the management. And you know, I look back now and say, of course, they were disappointed to lose it, but that's part and parcel of football. And I think that the lows always make the highs that bit better, you know.
Jack O'Connor pulled out, and after two wins, and Pat O'Shea came in, and Pat won in All Ireland. Were you surprised that Jack pulled out when you were on top that time, and then Pat came in, and was he completely different?
Well, to be honest, I wasn't surprised that Jack pulled out, because much like myself now at this stage, you know, he's living down in South Kerry, and it's a lot of hard work, you know, driving up and down 4 or 5 times a week. You know, it's a 2.5 hour round trip. It's very mentally draining and physically draining, and obviously being a teacher and that type of thing, there's probably only so much time you can do that for before you need a rest. And I think Jack probably felt he needed a rest. But as you say, Pat O'Shea came in then, and I actually loved playing under Pat. I probably played some of my best football under Pat O'Shea, because, you know, he was, again, a lot different to Jack and to Paddy before. He was more of a tactical manager, and he was more of, you know, he was a forward himself, so I think he was excellent for the forwards. And we worked a lot on you know, game plans and movements and that type of thing. So I really enjoyed playing for Pat O'Shea, and as I say, I was playing some of my best football at that time, so it was a very enjoyable period of my career. So yeah, it was great playing for Pat too.
Who came in after Pat, then, remind me?
Jack came back in then again. So when Jack came back in, Pat O'Shea was 07-08, and then Jack came back in again 09. Of course, we had a lot of things to prove in 09. There was a couple of times we were nearly dead and buried in 09, and that was probably one of the most satisfying All-Irelands that we won, beating Cork in the final. Of course, also always helped, but I think that was one of our best achievements, winning 09.
Was the fact of meeting Cork and Croke Park in All-Ireland semi-finals and All-Ireland finals. I remember talking to Paul Gallivan in the dressing room after he beaten Cork one day, and the man was nearly apoplectic over he beating Cork. He said he couldn't go back to Kerry if he had been beaten. The fact of meeting Cork in Munster was bad enough, but meeting them then in Croke Park, what was the pressure on like for that?
Oh, it's huge, of course. You know, you don't want to lose to Cork any time. And then above in Croke Park, you know, Kerry teams love going to Croke Park. We feel that we play well up there, and we have a proud tradition there. Of course, we've had some losses up there, but we really, no matter what, we always love going to Croke Park, and playing Cork in Croke Park is a big deal for a Kerry footballer, and of course, we're all very passionate about that, and certainly we wouldn't like to lose to Cork up there. So, as I say, 09 was special in that regard. Of course, 07 as well, but I think 09 was probably a greater achievement to win that All-Ireland, coming from where we were coming from. And you know, there was a couple of times that year where we looked dead and buried, but I think the spirit and the honesty in the group got us through some tough times. And then when we got to Croke Park, it was like flicking a switch. We just, you know, came alive, really, and we played some great football that year. The quarterfinal against Dublin and even the final against Cork, I thought we were excellent in managing that game. Some people would say, you know, it mightn't have been the best All-Ireland, but I think we managed that game actually very, very well to win that game.
You mentioned the Tyrone game there, I think, to 2003, Declan, and you know what I'm going to come to at the end of the game when you went through and you faced McCandle at the railway in goal. It was a 1-1, and you got through. Talk to us about that incident and when McCandle came out to save your shot.
That was in 08. Of course, look, that was, I remember vividly, of course, going. He was a big goalkeeper. So normally it would be goalkeepers, you go low. So I went low to the corner and he just took out a leg, and I think his studs probably deflected it slight, just a couple of inches wide. And I knew at that time that was a big moment and very disappointing. That hit me very hard, to be honest. I thought if we got that, I think we would have won the game. But look, you can always look back at games and look at different occasions throughout every game and say, look, if this went differently, the result would have changed. But look, that's football. You know, you have to be prepared to put everything in the line. You're putting yourself out there by training so hard and playing these games. You know that every day everything is not going to go right. So there's going to be times where things go against you, and you just have to accept that and come back stronger again if you can. And certainly that was one point in my career where I felt, you know, that was a big moment. And unfortunately, you know, I went against Kerry that day, and it took a lot out of me. There was a couple of occasions throughout my career, that a couple of things that I found very hard to deal with. But
what else?
Look, 06 down in Cork was obviously another point where, you know, it was difficult to deal with. But again, I felt coming out of that incident, you know, it was a much stronger personality after that. 2011, of course, against Dublin in the All-Ireland final. That was, you know, I was involved in the build-up for the Dublin goal that day. And even last year, 2013, I had a chance to get a score just before Dublin got the goal. I had a chance maybe 35 metres out on the right side for me and dragged it wide. And then the next kick out, McCauley taps it down to McMinnum and he goes up and gets a goal. So if I get that score, we were pint up, momentum was with us, we were facing kick out, you know, the game is a different game then. But look, these are things that go against you. I've had plenty of things that have gone for me, but you know, it's just the character I am. You know, you always, I often heard it being said, but I definitely feel it, that, you know, you always, the lows are always lower. You take them too hard, you know, and in the highs, then you probably tend to say, oh, that's great, but let's move on. You don't enjoy the highs as much as you suffer over the lows, but I wouldn't change. I wouldn't change much of my career, to be honest.
You mentioned there about that incident in Cork when you were taken off, and it said, I was broadcasting the game with Liam Higgins, Latimer, and it said that some of the security selectors some of the supporters were booing. I think it was only a small little thing. It wasn't anything big, but you said it affected you, Declan.
I think it was well documented at the time, and there was a lot of things happening around that period as well, a lot of rumours going around, and I was surprised by it. I didn't know exactly where all this stuff was coming from, but it was definitely a difficult time, and you know, it was just something that happened, look, and I found that from then on, really, you know, you just had to toughen up. And I worked very hard after that. Just, again, I probably, my pride came out and I said, you know, I want to prove people wrong. And certainly I worked very hard after that to try to get my place back in the team and to try drive on and not to let that scenario be allowed to happen again. But yeah, look, it was something that happened. I moved on a long time ago since from that, you know, but...
But you're a young man all the time, but you realise that life is made up of ifs and buts, Declan.
That's right.
And if you hadn't won 8 Munster titles, if you hadn't won 5 All-Irelands, if you hadn't won 3 National Leagues, if you hadn't won 3 All-Stars, you didn't do too bad all the same.
Oh, that's absolutely wishing. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't change. I'd change very little, even the losses. I often said it to a few of the lads that I think the losses were the making of the team. You know, you look back now and you'd be proud. If we were winning all those, it'd be very easy to come back to following year, and sure, anyone can play for a team that everything's going right for. So I think it was a great sign of the group that I was involved in, that we had some bad days and we lost some finals, but we never gave up. We always came back, and I'm very proud of that. And I think that's probably our greatest achievement, that, you know, we never went away. We always gave it our 100%, and you have to do that as a Kerry footballer. Every day you go out, you have to give 100%. But you know, it was a great sign of all those lads that, you know, even after losses, we never turned on each other. We never, you know, went away in our own separate ways or anything. We always came back the following year with a greater determination and a great bond. And that's, as I say, look, I'm very lucky. I was blessed to be involved in a group like I was, and certainly I wouldn't change much of my career.
There's one game that you stand out in my memory for, a game that you won above in Croke Park. And I have seen a lot of fellas scoring goals in Croke Park and missing them. And one shot that you took in Croke Park on one of the wettest days that was ever played in Croke Park, Galway were playing, Dublin were flooded out, the lights were turned on midway through the second half, and you went through at the Canal Inn and you hit a rocket of a shot and it came off the post. The wet day against Galway, Declan, was a scintillating game of football. What are your memories of it, and was it a special day?
It was a unique day, really. I mean, as you said, there was floods in Dublin, the roads were closed, the lights came on midway through the first half of the game, and there was just this torrential downpour throughout the game. And we always had great games with Galway were a real footballing side, and so were we, and it was always tended to be a shootout. So I always enjoyed playing Galway, because I knew that you know, there'd be no real negative tactics, so it was always a very enjoyable game. But that night was very special, and I think even from my point of view, Michael Meehan was playing on the other side, and he was outstanding that night. He actually got man of the match, and he kicked, I think, maybe 11 points or maybe more that night, and he was really outstanding. But there was a bit of symmetry, you know. I was thinking, you know, all the years back when we played against each other above in Limerick for Clarkson Skelly against Charlotte's, I never would have thought that, you know, so many years on, that we'd be above in Croke Park, lights on, flood around us, and both of us doing our best for our counties, and both of us playing well that night. So that was a kind of a very special night, really. And you know, it was great. A lot of things, I suppose, have gone against Michael Mee in his career. So when I look at that, he's had a lot of injuries and he hasn't had the look that I've had. So, I mean, I as I say before, I'm very blessed with the career I've had.
Do you remember the actual shot I'm talking about when you hit the post? I tell fellas you were about 50 yards out. I don't know how far, but it was an almighty shot. Do you remember that? It rebounded the way out the field.
I do, because I don't have too many spectacular shots, so I remember it well.
Was it your best shot ever?
Ah, it probably was, but sure, it didn't go in, so it didn't matter really. It could have been. I'd prefer to hit one bobbling around along the ground once it went in. But I remember it. I got a ball maybe 40, 45 yards out, went past one of my men, and like I say, Galway played a style of football that there was no swarming defence. So once you passed your man, typically there would be 10 or 15 yards of green grass. So there was, and I just moved into that space, and then maybe 20 yards out, I hit it. I thought I was going to the top corner. I think the edge of the crossbar with the upright and came out again. So I was a bit disappointed with that one, but it would have been a special goal from him, but it didn't matter because we won the game anyway. So
you had a beautiful style of kicking, Declan. You would always kind of settle yourself and you could kick off the left and the right, and you love kicking from 35, 40, 45 yards out, and you were always at a little bit of an angle. You had a lovely kick. Did you practice your kicking very, very much so? Did you settle on a style, and you were equally good with your left and your right?
Yeah, well, early in my career, I definitely would have been predominantly left-legged and very much so. But again, once you move up to the higher level, the first thing coaches tell you is that, look, you're going to have to develop your right leg as well. And I always say that to young fellas nowadays, that, you know, you can't be predictable. So I worked very hard on my right leg for a number of years, and I developed it where I was quite happy. I scored a lot of scores with my right leg, you know, the second half of my career, really, once I got up to the senior level. But yeah, I suppose, look, I worked very, very hard in my kicking, and I prided myself in my foot passing and that type of thing. And a lot of that goes back to maybe, you know, seven-a-side football with Kinley as well, because, you know, seven-a-side football, it's very fluid and you'll find yourself in different positions and you have to adapt to all those roles. And, you know, I found myself a lot of those games, because it's seven-a-side is different, I'd play in the forwards for 10 minutes and then the midfielder might want to break, so I go up midfield, and even maybe in the second half then the full back line might be fresh, so they go to midfield and I might even go back to the back line. So, you know, I got great development that way, that I played in a lot of different positions underage, and I think you develop a good skill set by doing that. And I was very proud of my kicking. I'd seen one of my strengths, so I worked quite hard at it. And even as a young fella at home, I'd always have a ball against the gable of the wall, and I'd have certain pointers in the wall where I'd be trying to kick, and I'd always, you know, I worked very hard at it when I was very young at my kicking, you know.
And what position did you with your club and with South Kerry and with Kerry, what positions did you favour the most? I always fancied you were the centre forward. A lot of people thought that you were better near the goal. Other people say you were a great kicker from the wing. What did you found suited you the best?
Earlier in my career, definitely, you know, I would have played a lot of football centre forward, and I've alternated a lot between centre forward and full forward. And a lot of teams I played with, especially that South Kerry team in the mid 2000s, I would alternate myself and Ronan Connor. I really enjoyed playing with Ronan Connor. He was full forward, I was centre forward, but we'd often change, and in periods of games I'd go into full forward, and I'd like that type of game where you're keeping the backs guessing and you're getting a different feel for positions. But to be honest, I didn't mind, but the only problem with me playing full forward for a lot of my career is that if the ball wasn't coming in, I wasn't the most patient of guys, and next thing I'd be start roaming out, and, you know, that was fine. But, you know, for a system of play, you probably had to be more patient than I was to play full forward. But I got better at it as the years went on, and I, you know, I'm more disciplined, but I like to be out in the thick of it. I would have definitely seen myself as more of a creator than a finisher. And to be honest with you, even as I went through my career, the one position I would have loved to play, it was centre-back. I thought maybe that might be even my strongest position, but I've never really played it. But myself, I think that I would have made probably a decent centre-back. I think, you know, I was good facing the ball, and, you know, my kicking would have been a decent level, and I thought I was good at reading the game. But, you know, with playing with Drummond, you know, we didn't have a lot of forwards, so that was never going to happen. And again, it was South Kerry, but, you know, I would love to have a chance to play centre-back, I must say.
Would you have modelled your play in any particular player, Declan, because you were the type of a player that you went straight in. You weren't a player, you weren't like Mickey Sheehy, Colin Cooper, one of these fellas now. You were a different type of a Kerry player. Would you have modelled your game in anybody?
not anyone in particular, but I would definitely have seen traits in other players where I would like to copy and to follow, really. But again, I think a lot of that comes back to my club. You know, the club, you know, that's where you see players from the very start. And I would have always seen hardworking players who, you know, are putting their body in the line and really putting the shoulder to the wheel and working hard. And that's the type of player in Drummond that, you know, we'd like. And I'd hear people talking about certain players, you know, the likes of Dinis Shine, O'Sullivan's and all those fellas who'd have played with Drummond, and they would throw their bodies in the line. They'd work hard and you know, they come off the field every day, you know, with nothing more to give. And that's the type of attitude and the type of way I like to play the football as well. And then, you know, if you come into Kerry, you'd see the likes of Seamus Moynihan, you know, that kind of spirit and that kind of attitude, you know, I loved that. And Liam Hassett even, you know, was a big influence on me when I went in there first. His mental strength and his attitude was fantastic. And so you take certain things out of different players, but at the end of the day, You have your own personality developed and your own character developed, and you know, you have to stay true to yourself as well. You can't be somebody that you're not. So I think just naturally, that was the way I probably developed from a young age.
Coming up to this year then, Declan, and in the Munster final in particular, you played a completely different role. You were playing, they call it a sweeper. You were coming from behind and bringing the ball up. And was that a complete new... Because as you said yourself, you had been playing seven-a-side and you were quite capable. It was, I suppose, you fell into that role very easy. And were you handed that particular role going out?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, that would have been something very comfortable because, again, like playing with Drummond, like that's probably my role I play with Drummond. Kind of going back into the fence or covering the fence and bringing the ball out and, you know, linking the backs to the forwards, kick passes and that type of thing. So, you know, I played a lot of that football throughout my career. But yeah, we definitely, after going to Port, after the Cork League game, I came back in the following Tuesday night to training, and then we went to Portugal and we worked on a lot of things over in Portugal. And one of those things was that I would either park myself behind in the defence or else maybe drift back along with the play and that type of thing. So we worked quite hard on it. Of course, a couple of injuries for the Clare game meant that I played full forward, but no, I was very happy with the role I played against Cork and Aim. And you know, we knew that if we were to win the All-Ireland, we'd have to get stronger defensively. We couldn't be giving away the scores that we gave away during the league, and Eamon was constantly looking at the opposition and trying to devise certain plans for different oppositions. And that day we felt that, you know, that we needed to give it a bit of cover to the backs, and my role kind of fitted in along with that, okay, I was giving cover to the backs, but the important thing then was to move the ball as quick as possible into the full forward line, who we felt would have to beat him, the full back line. And so it proved. I think, you know, James was outstanding that day, but not only him, Stephen O'Brien and Paul Gainey I thought were outstanding as well. So that was just a particular tactics for that game. And I think the feature of this year was that we seemed to tailor our tactics and our game plans based on what team we were playing. And you have to do that now. That's where football has gone. So I think that was probably one of the most pleasing things for both the management and the players, is that we were able to adapt and get our tactics right most days.
And the final then against Donegal, when Kerry abandoned what you'd call the true Kerry style, and of course, if you, as the fella says, if you can't beat them, join them, and it won the All-Ireland for Kerry, and all Kerry supporters, even though that they wouldn't have liked the style, they were all thrilled with the win. It was so unexpected. And it was a complete change of style, Declan, wasn't it?
Well, it was, of course, a defensive mindset, but people commented after, and they say to me that, you know, we copied the Donegal style, we out Donegal. But for me, looking at that game and from our preparations, yes, we played a defensive system, but it was totally different to the Donegal system. And people can say otherwise, but I'm telling you that that system that we played in the final was completely different to Donegal's defensive system. And I think we definitely stayed more in line with our natural game. So I think from that point of view, we'd be very comfortable in how we played in the final. And of course, look, at the end of the day, it's all about winning, especially in Kerry. We went 5 years without winning it, so we were delighted with the win. But definitely, I don't think we were as negative or as defensive as some people say. And especially the way we went about being defensive was a lot different to Donegal.
You would have experienced so much training under all the different trainers, and you trained with hundreds of people watching you, and then you train behind closed doors in Fitzgerald Stadium, which probably resulted in the winning of the All-Ireland. I don't know. What was it like, Declan, training behind closed doors in the difference to training of previous years when you would have literally hundreds and hundreds of people watching you? What was the big difference and how did it help Kerry?
Look, it was as you say, it was definitely a reason why we won the All-Ireland. Simply because, look, the game has gone so professional. People are always looking for that extra percentage of where they can get an advantage in you. And there's no doubt about it. People were coming down to Killarney for their holidays and people were coming down especially to go in and see Kerry play. And if we're training and we're trying to work on something and there's 100 people in the stand watching, of course there's people taking notes. There's people saying this fella's going well, that fella's going well, or, you know, things get out. And certainly you can't give that type of advantage to any opposition. So we saw it for the final this year with the incident up the tree. So, you know, there's obviously benefit to watch the opposition training if somebody's going to go to that length to see the training. So, and the other thing, of course, is that, especially for the younger players, and I found this myself even probably at an early age, that if you're going in training, you're going to work, you're going to really work hard and to get the best out of yourself. But if you're in training and there's 100, 200 people in the stand, the next thing you get a goal and there's a big cheer, it's not realistic. It's not good for the mindset. It's not good for the attitude. You need to have a hard edge in training and you need to fellas going at each other. You need fellas to be demanding of each other. And I think it's probably healthy if that's done in a closed environment where fellas are comfortable and they don't have to, you know, hear it out in the street the following week that so-and-so, you know, was... You know, had an incident with that fella. You know, this is a top level sport, so there's going to be incidents in training, but as soon as we walk off the field, they're forgotten about. But you don't need then, you know, 100 people walking out the gate talking about it, and then, you know, it's not fair on anyone really. So definitely I think that was a big part of how we went about tactically preparing for every team. We could do so safe in the knowledge that, you know, we're going to surprise teams, and we surprised a lot of teams this year with different things, and that was a big part of it.
You've seen a lot of changes in the rules over the years, Declan, and you saw the black car coming in, the yellow car coming in, the red cars coming in. How did you get on generally with referees? You would have a little reputation of whispering into referees' ears and maybe questioning their decisions and things like that. You'd be a born winner in that respect. And in the relation to the game today and referees in general?
Yeah. Look, I have a reputation like that, and it's one thing that I'd be disappointed with, really. It's something I've tried to work on numerous times, but still haven't gotten top of it. I was probably a lot better at the inter-county level, but at club level, I can be a bit of a tormentation, I think, to ref. And look, that's just the way it is at the moment. Yeah. I constantly try to work on it. But it's obviously a very difficult job to do, refereeing. And, you know, I respect any fellow who takes that job on. But the problem probably is that the rule book isn't helping the referees at the moment. There's too much, you know, grey areas, whether it is the training or whether they're not putting enough time into developing the rules or coaching the referees how to implement these. Because, look, every day you go out, you're not sure how it's going to be reffed, and it's going to be reffed differently. And that's no fault of any one individual, of course. But that can be very frustrating. Then if you're putting all this time into it, if you're training four or five times a week, if you're travelling a couple of hours to training, if your social life is put on the back burner, if your family life is suffering, if you can't go on holidays, you know, I haven't gone on a summer holiday in 12 years, you know what I mean? So all these sacrifices that players are making, which, to be honest, I think is unrealistic, a lot of it. But then you're playing games and nobody seems to know what's happening with the rules. And, you know, it's kind of potluck on the day if you're going to get the rub of the green or not. So, look, I think there's definitely an area where we could try and improve some of the rules, or else try and improve the implementation of the rules. But look, that's not for me to say or anyone else, but that was just my opinion on it. But look, that's something for the authorities to be thinking about.
How did you get on with the media all your career, Declan? You weren't a man that would be quoted all that much in the media and things. Would you try to avoid things? And generally, how did you find the media?
The media were fine. I was comfortable enough with the media, no problem. But certainly I would have tried to stay away from it as much as possible. I didn't feel it was any advantage to me to be talking to the media, and that's the way I always approach things. What benefit does it have for me? Is it going to improve my performance on a Sunday to be talking to a journalist on the Tuesday or Thursday? I never saw that as a as a benefit to me. So I didn't bother doing much of it. I did a bit when I was captain, obviously, that comes with the territory. But in general, I try to stay away from it as much as possible. And then, of course, there's sometimes where it's a team thing and you have to do it. And I was glad to do my part. I did the media day for the All-Ireland this year because I knew I wouldn't be playing. I was experienced. There was a lot of younger fellas involved. So I put my hand up for that job this year that I would do that. And I felt I was playing a role for the team to speak with the media, you know, put out a certain line and a certain confidence in the team or whatever to approach in the final. And I no problem with that. But from a personal point of view, if I didn't see an advantage in it, I didn't see any need to see big interviews of me in the paper because I felt, look, it wasn't going to be any advantage to me.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You're going to be playing with your club now, hopefully for another few years. Down the line, Declan, can you see yourself training Drummond, training South Kerry, getting involved with some Kerry team or something? You're a man, I would imagine, that would like to be involved in football because you're a very passionate person.
Yeah, I'd love to stay involved. As you say, I'll try concentrate and getting the body right now, getting the two knees right, and try go back playing with Drummond and try have a couple of successful years with Drummond over the next couple of years. But definitely, I probably have an eye on getting involved in coaching at some level, whether it's underage or with the club or, you know, I'm not sure what level. But I suppose you have to dip your toes in somewhere just to see what it's like and whether you'll be good or not at it. But certainly, it's something that would interest me. And as you say, look, I've been involved in football all my life and I have a huge passion for it and played under a lot of great managers and played with some great players. So I would feel that I have a certain amount of knowledge that might be beneficial. But look, that's all very up in the air at the moment. We'll just try concentrating playing for the time being.
You give me the impression, Declan, of a man that you'd be natural for either the press, the radio or the television to be involved in it, in the media somewhere down the line. You'll give me that impression.
Again, look, as I said before, I try to stay away from the media as much as possible when I was a player. But look, I'll see. You know, I suppose when you retire, all these things might open up. But I've no big you know, ambition to get involved in anything like that. Busy work at the moment. I have a young family and stuff like that. So if it suits, and you know, if there's something that might suit me, I might try dip my hand in it. It keeps you involved, of course, if you're doing some of that work, yeah. The radio work and stuff like that. Tomás would have said that a couple of times, that it keeps you involved. Yeah. You know, you still feel part of it, but I'd be slow to get involved, you know, straight away, because obviously being involved in the Kerry dressing room, you don't want to be then the year after talking about these fellas or, you know, being expected to give analysis on those fellas, because I'd have a great bond with those fellas. So I'd be slow enough to get involved in certain respects, but we'll see.
Yeah. Of course, you're working with Leaper. He won an All-Ireland this year, by the way, too. And how important was winning that All-Ireland? And your job with Leaper Factory in Killarney brings you where, Declan?
Yeah, I'm working in the sales department there, so I do a good bit of travelling throughout the world. You know, they have cranes all over the world, so it's very exciting and very interesting that you know, you're meeting all different people from different cultures, and so I really enjoy that. And as you say, they've been very good to me back in the factory. Most people back there are football mad, and you know, my manager Jerry Bunyan and the sales director Pat O'Leary have been excellent to me this year. You know, because there were certain times during the year where, at the championship time, where maybe I was supposed to travel, but they worked around that. So I appreciated that, really. So, and again, of course, you mentioned that we won in All-Ireland, which was fantastic. It was a real special day in Killarney that day. The whole factory was out to see us win that one. And there had been no football in the factory maybe for the previous maybe 10 years or so, because the workforce was probably getting older. And they didn't have the numbers, but over the last couple of years, they've started employing a lot of young people around. They've been a very important employer to Killarney. So yeah. there's been a great influx of young fellas back there. So we have quite a good team. And even this year now, while I'm not playing, they've progressed to Munster final this week. So looking forward to that. And hopefully they can win that at a higher level again.
Yeah, Leaper Factory has been great to Killarney and great to Kerry. My two late brothers worked there all their life, and my brother-in-law's worked there, and a lot of all my friends worked there. Always a great place. Your favourite memory, Declan, and one regret?
That's a difficult question. Favourite memory, without a doubt, it was September, being able to bring my son onto the field in Croke Park. Definitely will stay with me, you know, for a long time. You know, that's something that's, you know, I was even talking to Seamus Mynan about it the other day. He got the same feeling in 2006. It's something that you're totally have no control over, but when it happens, it's fantastic. And, you know, that'll stay with me forever. Regret? I don't know. Look, it's hard to look back so soon after a career that was 12 years to pick out any one regret. But certainly, you know, losing the finals, of course, you'd always look back and say, could you have done something different? Could you have prepared better? Was there something that we could have changed? But look, my attitude to that is that, you know, you try your best. You have 100% every day. Some days it goes for you, some days it doesn't. But if you have to always bounce back and try harder. So while we regretted losing some of the finals, I'd always look back and say, look, they were the make of us in many ways as well. So, you know, I don't have too many regrets, to be honest.
Finally, Declan, behind every great man, there's somebody greater. And your lady wife, I've no doubt, like all GAA wives, a bit of a widow at times. And you have two young sons. Talk to us about them.
Yeah, of course. Michelle is my wife. She comes from a good footballing family as well down South Kerry. So she played a bit of football herself when she was younger. So she knows what's involved in it, and she's a great supporter. And would, you know, is very good to me, you know, especially playing inter-county football is very difficult in a lot of ways because, you know, you go through, you know, confidence is everything. And at a high level, you know, sometimes you begin to doubt yourself, and you need a close-knit family and you need a close-knit group of friends who rally around you and give you the support and the encouragement that you need. And certainly over my career, I've had a few occasions where I needed that support and needed my friends and I needed my family and my wife as well. So I'm very grateful to the people I've around
parents.
Me. My parents,
yeah.
You know, have been excellent to me, you know, two very grounded people, and they've kept me, you know, really grounded as well. And I'm very, you know, proud of the fact that, you know, that they've enjoyed it, you know, following Kerry while I've been playing that. So I've been very lucky that way. And of course, with my two boys born now as well, you know, it's totally different, you know, becoming a father. So I'm really enjoying that. And
are they kicking with the two legs?
I've been trying to get my second fella is only 9 weeks yet, but my first fella is right legged. But someone asked him a couple of days ago, "What does your daddy say?" He said, "Kick with the other leg." So I'm trying to get him working on it already. But that's one thing I found this year, Wishy, is that, you know, with work, being busy and doing a bit of travelling, and then being from South Kerry, that, you know, if we train late on Tuesday night, I used to often stay in Killarney and not get home. So I went, you know, the full week on several occasions this year without seeing my young fella. So I found that hard, you know, especially at this age where he can come on the phone, he's asking, "Where are you?" And, you know, I found that a bit difficult. And so when we won the All-Ireland and got the chance to bring him on the field, I knew, look, it was all worth it. So it does bring a different perspective to your life, and you realise that football, while it's very important, it's not the only thing either.
Yeah, listen, Declan, thanks for the memories, and it's always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Wishy.